When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's good?
Thank you so much for tuning into this bonus interview episode of The Newest Olympian. My name is Mike Schuber. I'm the titular Newest Olympian. And as you may have seen when you clicked download or play on this episode, that it's going to be a bit of a shorter one today, but I still have some interview questions from the interview that I did with Jett Wilkinson, who directed episode 6, as well as episode 5 and the upcoming episode 8. So first we will get into those questions. And then after that, I'm going to talk a little bit about some other episode 6 stuff, and then also some fun updates with the podcast. So first, let's get into the Jett questions. The first one that I asked is about the Cracker Barrel billboard that you see in the beginning of the episode. And I would also like to thank every single person who wrote to me to say that they eat a Cracker Barrel all the time after I accused Cracker Barrel of being a money laundering front. And look, maybe they're all in on it, but apparently people do eat a Cracker Barrel. And people have been questioning the fact that I lived in Texas for a decade and never ate a Cracker Barrel. And I'm very happy to report that I surround myself with good people in my life who bring me to restaurants that don't suck. I do appreciate the people who reached out saying that they ate there, but the food was bad. But they ate there as a kid on a car trip. And that really is where Cracker Barrel operates, is that it's just, you know, side of the road food. And I think that's like their main target is just like, well, you're on the highway and you got to eat somewhere. So here's Cracker Barrel. Maybe you like playing that triangle golf tee peg game. Anyway, I asked Jett about the Cracker Barrel billboard. Here is Jett's response. Moving on to episode 6, there was something that I picked up on that I wanted to know if this was just like a fun detail, if this was an intentional thing. When they're driving to Vegas, they pass a billboard and it's for Cracker Barrel, which I think is very thematic in that there are always Cracker Barrel billboards in the US everywhere you're driving. And on the billboard, it says cooking up the classics. Was that an intentional like Greek reference, or was this just like, oh, this was a predetermined Cracker Barrel ad and we just put it there?
There's always those little Easter eggs that we put in all the time. And our production designer, Dan Hanna, was always sort of finding those special little moments and those special treats to put in for people to notice and enjoy.
Yeah, I thought it was very fun. And something in episode 6 that I thought was so fun, and I think this really is a credit to you with your directorial choices, the whole driving the taxi cab out of the parking garage was so funny, like full belly gut laughs.
Right.
What all goes into doing something? Obviously, the joke is that there's all this like triumphant music and it's going to be this big thing. And it's just like the worst driving you've ever seen, the slowness around the curve.
Yeah.
What all goes into that? Because you absolutely nailed it.
I was really happy with that. And the kids did really well. Walker was fantastic. You know, that's again, a lot of that changed a little bit. The location changed and sort of the different concepts sort of evolved. But I remember, again, it was John saying it would just be so funny if he thinks he's got this and then he just like totally, you know, smashes a car. And so it was really funny just to play with that with the kids and with Walker of like, I got this. This is easy. I can do this. Because the last thing he says is, you know, how hard can this be? And then he totally screws it up. But it was funny and it was a lot of fun to shoot.
Yeah, it looks like it was a blast. You know, I had to work in a question about that incredible taxi cab garage scene. Oh, now here is the last episode 6 question that I asked Jett. If you listen to the New York Comic Con bonus episode that I posted earlier, you will know that I asked the VFX team, what is a cool VFX thing that might have gone unnoticed? And Jeff White told me when they did the iris message thing, they used an iPhone flashlight and a Listerine bottle to make that effect happen. So I asked Jett about it. Seems like that VFX stuff happened all after the fact, because Jett was confused, but here's me asking that question. in episode 6 when Annabeth is using the prism. It was an iPhone flashlight on a Listerine bottle. Is that's what I was told. I don't know if that was maybe used after for the effects. Was that something done live, or is that like the effects might have done that to do the superimposing?
I mean, maybe they did that afterwards.
Okay.
But what we used on set was the actual... It was the actual prism. I think we used the actual prism on set, and maybe they enhanced it later. But I know I've never heard of a Listerine bottle on an iPhone. That's hilarious.
So those were the episode 6 relevant questions from Jet. There is more from that interview to come after episode 8 has gone live, and I post the episode 8 bonus interview episode, so stay tuned for that. And speaking of episode 6, I don't know if you, the listener, are one of these people, but it seems like a lot of people in the Percy Jackson fandom were not big fans of episode 6. I don't know that this is the case with the average TNO listener. This seems to be more in other places where I don't spend as much time, but apparently there's like Reddit threads and TikTok threads and some Twitter threads about how the episode was bad. I thought it was great. I don't understand all of the backlash. There were some changes, but I see no downside into bringing book 5 stuff into book 1 with the Hermes and the Luke of it all. And I've talked about this with other Percy Jackson podcasters, not necessarily on TNO, but I think it's a really smart idea to bring in the book 5 stuff into season 1. I don't think it is a spoiler in any way. I don't think that it waters down the impact of season 1 or the story of the Lightning Thief. I think this is an example of what Rick was saying, where if he could do everything over again, he would probably change some things. And I think that's what happened here. I think it makes sense. And I had even commented about this on the News Olympian when I got to beginning of book 5. They were really laying the Luke backstory on heavy. And it felt a little bit like, oh man, we got to make him more sympathetic. Felt, I don't think, truly into too little too late territory, but it was kind of in that vein of like, okay, the intro of book 5 is where we're going to start to have some sympathy for the villain. So I think that this is a perfect opportunity to really cement Luke's backstory and make him more understandable as a villain, and I think more compelling as a villain. So I saw that critique going around. I think that bringing in the main overarching villain stuff makes sense because, I don't know, when Rick is writing these books for the first time, I don't think he knows what exactly the whole big picture plan is. I know that he probably had a thought of it since he's introducing Kronos and Luke and all of that. But as far as the specifics, there's a really good chance he didn't come up with those until far later into creating the series. So to bring it in from the beginning into the first book or the first season, whatever, I think it makes so much sense. So I wasn't bothered by that. I said some of the things that I wasn't as much of a fan of, but I don't think are super crucial, such as them knowing about the Lotus. And I think that that was just kind of where the show had to go based on some of the other decisions that they made. So I think it's fine. I also find it funny that some of the complaints people are making are things that weren't in the book. Some people are like, oh, they didn't eat the Lotus flowers. It's like, well, they didn't in the book either. That was just in the movie. But I also think some of the comments and critiques that people have, I would just wait, because it is an 8-episode series. This is only episode 6. And there's certain things that might get resolved later. I'm not going to spoil anything here, but that's why my approach throughout this whole season, even when they made changes that I was confused about, my approach has always been, let's just see what they're doing here, because there's probably a reason. I know there's some people who have been really upset about the Four Pearls thing at the end. It's like, okay, why don't you just wait until the next episode to see what they do with the Four Pearls? So again, I don't really think that this is the average TNO listener. I know that there's some people who are upset with episode 6, and I've seen some of the critiques and commentaries, whether that's on Patreon or the subreddit or whatever. And I think some critiques are valid. I'm not trying to say that you're not allowed to think negatively of the show or have some constructive criticism for the show, but I just think a lot of the things that I've been seeing online about episode 6 and any sort of backlash towards it just feel, I don't know, this just feels like maybe it'll be washed away after people watch future episodes, or it just seems like weird commentary that I don't think necessarily makes sense. Like people saying, oh, like there's no action and stuff. I still think that there was a lot of action. And then also people are like, oh, they took away all the high intensity of the Lotus Casino. I'm sorry, the chapter in the book where like they just, like it only exists to be a distraction? I'm confused. I also saw one criticism where people said there was no zebra in the episode, even though it was called We Take a Zebra to Vegas. And I'll be honest, I missed it the first time, but then I went back and looked at it. There's a zebra there. It runs away behind the truck when you see it. So yes, it is there. I also think some of the criticisms are coming from people who don't understand just how the TV show has to operate. And I know that I'm benefited by getting to talk to the production folks. And that's why I'm trying to put as much of that information on the podcast as I can so that all of you can understand. And maybe this is why the TNO listeners, I don't think, are the people making these sorts of comments. But I know some people are saying, oh man, why don't they just make the episodes longer? You can't just do that. That is hard. That is hard to do. That is expensive to do. I'm sure there is direction from the Disney on high to keep things a particular length. You can't just do that in season one of a show. I'm sure as the seasons progress, if it gets picked up for more, they will be able to make things a little bit longer and get a little more loose with runtimes and stuff. But when you're making an 8-episode season one, that's all you can do. And I've also heard some people say things like, oh man, everything feels so rushed, but then also people are complaining that not enough happened in episode 6. So I think there's a lot of commentary out there that to me just doesn't make sense. And maybe it's because people are used to consuming everything all in one go. I mean, even when you read the Percy Jackson books, you can read them all in one go. If you're me, it's different because I'm always waiting in between. So maybe I'm trained to be okay with waiting time in between things, but maybe because it's a whole thing where you have to wait week to week, it feels different. Like, I think it's perfectly valid to be confused by episode 6 and hesitant and unsure of what is ahead. But I think people jumping to that next step of, oh my goodness, they're messing up the story and they're telling it wrong before the whole story has been told, that feels wrong to me. Because I completely get some of the frustrations and antsiness. The four pearls, sure, that's confusing. What are they going to do with it? But then also, oh no, the deadline. Why did they change that? Well, let's watch episode 7 and 8 and see if there's a reason. So that's all I'm going to say is I feel like probably some of these critiques will wash away once people have seen the next episodes. So let's just let that be. But again, if you aren't enjoying the show or if you didn't enjoy episode 6, you're completely allowed to. I'm just trying to give my points to why I think some of the critiques don't line up. But look, that's just my opinion. I'm just enjoying the show. I'm just having fun with it. And I'm not trying to belittle anyone who doesn't enjoy it. But I think I'm just trying to understand what's going into the adaptation. And I'm also trying to have a little bit of patience. So maybe that can help if you're feeling frustrated by the show. But shout out to the few people who have posited that I am being nice about the show because I want to keep my connections as if I said anything negative about the show, they would uninvite me from things, or B, as if the creators of the show don't want constructive criticism. I don't know. Whatever. I liked episode 6. I think it's good. And I just would encourage anyone to just wait for the full season to finish before you jump to conclusions about, like, oh my goodness, they didn't do the story right and they're messing everything up. Well, they got 2 more episodes, so just see what happens. Also, in regards to episode 6, I did post a reel on Instagram that I thought was very fun, where I did a big deep dive into how Levitating was the perfect music selection for the Lotus Casino scene rather than Poker Face, which some people were hoping would have a comeback. So you can go to the Newest Olympian Instagram, which is at Newest Olympian, and you can check out that reel. Another point I didn't make in that reel that a lot of people in the comments pointed out that I think makes sense is that Poker Face, first off, poker maybe makes more sense when the kids are adults, as they were in the Lightning Thief movie. These kids are definitely kids. Also, if you know the full chorus of that song, it gets rather explicit, and having that play with the show with 12-year-olds in it maybe doesn't work as well. So I didn't even realize that until people pointed out in the comments. But yeah, you can check out that and a bunch of other fun stuff I've been posting on Instagram at Newest Olympian. And then I'm also on Twitter at Newest Olympian. Been posting some fun stuff there, such as a tweet about how I was scouring the background looking for Darren while everyone else was looking for the D'Angelos. But that was the easy thing to try to look for. I wanted to go niche. Now, with all of that taken care of, let's talk about some fun updates with the podcast before we go here. First up, I will be making a social media post today on the day you're listening about what we're covering in the Florida shows in February. So we have 3 half TNO, half Potterless shows coming up in Gainesville, in Tampa, and Orlando. The content will be different at all 3 of those shows, but me and my guest Johnny Frolickstein will be doing some Percy Jackson brackets. The topics that we're going to be doing for the Percy Jackson portions are a bracket to determine the best non-Persebeth demigod, the best god, and the best weapon in the series. So we'll be doing that. And then for the Harry Potter portions, we're going to do an improvised format of Love is Blind, the Netflix reality TV show. We're going to do one with heroes, one with villains, and one with non-wizard characters. So that'll be a fun time. You can get tickets for those shows at thenewsolympian.com/live. That's also where you can get tickets for the Arizona show in Phoenix that's coming up, as well as the two shows in North Carolina and the new Denver show. What? The new Denver show? Well, you lovely people sold out the original Denver show. That is correct. We sold out the Denver show on February 18th, meaning we added an early show. So the sold out show is on a Sunday. We added an earlier show on Sunday as well. And you can get tickets to that at thenewsolympian.com/live. The earlier show is going to be at 4:30 p.m. And I will say the content we're doing at the early show is going to be different from the content at the late show. So if you want to go to both shows, just go to the show, then grab some food, go to the second show, have a big old TNO Potterless day, come through. It'll be a blast. But we are doing an early show. It will be different. So you can see two shows in one night and have a fun time. I'll be there at both shows. I'm going to have a good time. But yeah. Thank you for selling out that show, and come through to the early show too. Come on. It's a Sunday. What else are you going to do? So head on over to thenewsolympian.com/live for tickets to all of those shows. And then I have an update about merch stuff. So the beads and the pens and the camp regular person shirts were all out of stock. And by the end of January, they all should be back in stock. For some folks with beads, I believe you were able to place a pre-order for them. I think there's like 140-something pre-orders placed. If you are one of those people who have placed an order at some point in between when we sold out the last time and now, those beads will be in the warehouse, I think by like January 26th, and then they will start shipping them out. So you should be getting them in the near future. And then a restock on the pens and the shirts should be here by the end of the month. So then you can go and purchase those. I think that's everything I have right now for the podcast. We'll be back on Wednesday with an episode about episode 7. The guest will be Johnny Frolickstein, and I hope you enjoy that episode. We also have some other interviews in the works with some members of the cast and the crew and the production team. So gonna have some fun stuff going on. We'll probably have a couple of those episodes after the TV show finishes airing. I want to do an episode where I kind of do a full retrospective look back thing about the full season with someone who has only seen the movies and then the TV show, and then someone who has only seen the TV show and nothing else. So really trying to get the full perspective of what was this show like for every level of Percy Jackson fan. So we'll do an episode about that. We have some really fun interviews. And then once all of the TV show stuff is done, we'll get back into covering the movies. So we'll have some episodes about the Sea of Monsters. Then I'm going to do the musical. And then after that, I think we might get right into Heroes of Olympus. So I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. So thank you all so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And until I post another thing to the feed and we cross paths again, I'll see you later. This episode of The Newest Olympian is brought to you by Arena Club. Now, if you listen to this podcast, it should be no secret that I am both a sports nerd and more of a traditional nerd. And when you think of these two types of nerddom, there's one thing that links them together, and that is card collecting. Whether you are looking to buy, trade, sell, or display a card collection of sports cards or Pokemon cards, you should check out Arena Club. ArenaClub.com is the place where you can do all of these things. I have recently made a purchase on the marketplace. I got Lieutenant Surge's Raichu, which is my favorite Pokemon, and I didn't even know that there was a Lieutenant Surge version of the Raichu. So that is a card that I now have, and it's not just some digital thing. I can have this card physically mailed to me. So there's bunch of cool stuff you can do with Arena Club, including their slab packs. If you have ever done any sort of card collecting, you know that ripping packs or repacks can be a zero transparency type of thing where you're just hoping you get some sort of cool card. But what's nice about the slab packs with Arena Arena Club is that you have full transparency. You see what available cards are there, what your percentage of getting them is, what the gradings are. So it is not a complete black box. You're going into this knowing what cards you might get. And I've been using Arena Club and it's pretty cool. It's very easy for me to look up different cards. I can favorite them, see what I want. And then whenever I want them shipped to me, I can get them shipped to me. And then I'll have the physical versions of them. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/TNO. Wow, that's a wild offer. 10% off a $400 slap pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/TNO for 10% off your first purchase. So if you want to collect some cards or rip open some packs in a more transparent way, whether you're a sports nerd or a Pokemon nerd or all sorts of nerds like me, you can use Arena Club today. This episode of The New Olympian is brought to you by Green Chef. Now, Sally Jackson has it pretty tough. She's got to work. She's got to support the family. She's got to deal with Smelly Gabe. She doesn't have time to deal with grocery shopping and all these other sorts of things if she's trying to make a nice home-cooked meal for the family. So what could she use? She could use Green Chef. Green Chef can take the work out of eating clean with chef-crafted, nutritionist-approved recipes featuring certified organic fruits and vegetables, organic cage-free eggs, and sustainably sourced seafood. Green Chef has a diverse menu. Each week, you can choose from over 80 flavor-packed options, and you can customize your meals to suit your lifestyle, whether that is keto, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, etc. And choosing Green Chef means choosing real, wholesome foods that don't just fill you up, but also support a healthy lifestyle. It's more than just satisfying your hunger. It's about feeling good with every bite. I have a box from Green Chef arriving today as I record this, and I'm very excited to give it a shot. The box that I signed up for was a plant-powered box. Trying to do a plant-based diet is something that I have considered in the past, but honestly, I have always thought, oh my God, that would be so much effort. So the fact that Green Chef takes the effort out of it has me very fascinated, and I cannot wait to try out these recipes. Thankfully, Green Chef did a lot of the hard work for me. If you are interested, go to greenchef.com/60olympian and use code 60olympian to get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Again, go to greenchef.com/60olympian and use code 60olympian to get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. So check out Green Chef if you've got to put some food on the table for your family, but you want to make sure that you are eating well. Do that, Sally, today. Thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode of The Newest Olympian. This podcast is created, hosted, and produced by me, Mike Schuber. I also run the social media and the website. Our editor is normally Sherry Guo, but these bonus episodes have been fully edited by me. The music is by Bettina Campomanes and Brandon Grugel, and the art is by Jessica E. Boyd. If you're enjoying the show, but you can't get enough, go to our Patreon. We got a whole bunch of bonus content over there. It's thenewestolympian.com/Patreon. We got physical rewards like pins and stickers. We've got digital rewards like bonus episodes and the Patron 5 and all sorts of fun stuff going on there. You get access to the Discord, lots of good stuff. There is also the merch that I had mentioned earlier at thenewsolympian.com/merch, so you can get that stuff, especially once it's all back in stock. The live shows are at thenewsolympian.com/live, and we're on social media at News Olympian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I've been making some fun reels. It's been a good time. Follow us there. Check out the stuff we've got going on. I'm making good social media jokes, and I think you should check them out. But seriously, thank you all so much for listening. If you want to help out the show in a non-monetary way, talking about it helps. Just posting about it on social media, telling a friend, reaching out to anyone in your life that you think would enjoy the podcast. Just say, hey, there's this podcast called The New Olympian. I think you would enjoy it. It's very good. Hey, you've been watching the Disney Plus show and you want to read the books, but you don't want to actually read the books. Listen to this guy. Go through the books. He basically reads them to you. Anything like that is awesome, and I appreciate anyone who does that or who has already done it or will do it later down the road. But thank you so much for listening, and until you hear that next episode where we cover episode 7 with Johnny Frolickstein, I'll pursue you later.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.